Hello. Welcome, everybody, to Daily Briefing Live from Revive Health on Friday, June 12, 2020. This is our last Daily Briefing Live, and we'll talk about that. Though we will be back with a podcast, it just won't be daily or a briefing. It will be live. But for today, it is still our 30-minute review of the latest, most important news and resources for health system marketers and communicators dealing with COVID-19. I am Chris Bevelo, health system practice lead at Revive Health and your host for the show. I'm joined by Chase Kleckner, senior marketing manager at Revive Health and our show's producer. Hey, Chase.
Hey, Chris. Good to see you as always.
I think this is the first show. This is episode 62, and this is the first show where we haven't had a guest. It's just you and I.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that's good because as we wrap up the Daily Briefing Live, we can kind of walk through what you and I have been through over the last 3 months, which has been incredible in all kinds of ways, and then talk about what's coming next. So I think this will be great. So we will still cover the latest news on COVID-19. We're going to dig into that today. We'll talk about how it relates to all of you out there, marketing communication professionals for hospitals and health systems. We'd still like to open the floor to questions. So if you have a question, just put it in the Q&A queue in Zoom. And Chase and I will answer those as we go or at the end. You can also use the chat function if you want to talk to other participants in the show. And Chase will use that to put links of what we're talking about in the chat function. But if he wants to answer a question, put that in the Q&A queue. Remember that you can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and you still should keep that subscription because while this show is ending, a new one will take its place and we will keep that subscription going. So don't change that. Go at it if you don't have it. For now, search for Revive Health Daily Briefing Live. As always, we'll be posting a recording of this episode by the end of today on our website at thinkrevivehealth.com. You can find it at our COVID-19 communications hub, which is thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19. As always, a couple of important notes. We are not experts on COVID-19, the disease itself. So this is not a place to come for medical or scientific advice or resources, but we do have advice, opinions related to marketing communications for hospitals and health systems. So just make sure when you hear that, you apply it to your current situation, because as always, and this is, you know, just as true today as it was when we started this, everybody is going through this differently. Unfortunately, we are seeing that some of you are now entering a phase that is quite frightening. So make sure you pull through all the things we're talking about relative to your own community and your own organization. All right, let's begin as we always do, by looking at the latest news. And actually, there's a lot of news we want to talk about, but we're going to save it for later. We will still, though, visit, as we always do, first, the Johns Hopkins website that is really the definitive resource, or one of them, in terms of tracking the spread of COVID-19 across the globe. And we've always done this to try to keep just high-level perspective on where things are at in general with the pandemic, because that impacts, obviously, what we're thinking and talking about relative to hospitals and health systems. So as we look at the Johns Hopkins tool, wow, some of these numbers are just stunning. Globally, we are at 7.5 million cases, which I know we have, I don't know if we're up to 7 billion people, 6 billion people. I don't know. The number of billions of people in the world seems to accelerate, Chase, much greater than it did when I was growing up. I mean, it was like 3 or 4 billion for a long time, and now it feels like every other year we add a billion, which I guess is how it works.
7.5 billion is where we're at.
Thank you. 7.5. So at some point soon, we're going to be at 8 billion. I don't even know what the math is on that. If we're at 7.5 billion. Get out your calculator.
Get out calculator.
And we're at 7.5 million. I don't know if that's 1%. Pretty sure it's not 1%. Probably 0.1%. I should know that.
Oh, yeah, damn. I don't know.
my daughter in high school is going to crush me because I always feel like, you need to learn your math so you can use it in real life. And now without a calculator, I'm a fool.
It's pretty easy math, it seems like.
What is it? Is it 0.1?
I don't know.
0.1%? Well, we know it's not. If you added two zeros, that would be one. That'd be 1%,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And two zeros to 7.5 million makes it 750 million. So it is 0.1% of the global population, I'm pretty sure. Thankfully, this is recorded, so everybody can tell me if I'm wrong later. It's a huge number. It doesn't matter. Global deaths are at 422,000. As we look to the United States, we're leading. We are certainly leading in all the ways. Most cases by a long shot. Next, we are at just over 2 million confirmed cases. The next closest is Brazil, who has decided to stop reporting their cases because they have a nut job for a leader who has denied all of this and doesn't want to look bad. Yes, I'm still talking about Brazil. They're at 802, and Russia's right behind them. Not sure we should trust Russia to also be forthright. So I don't even know if I trust ourselves to be forthright in some ways, but we are way out ahead. And we are now at 113,924 deaths attributed to COVID-19 in the United States. And we're going to talk later about how, unfortunately, the projections. Chase, you said that you found something. You want to share that projection that you talked about before the show?
Yep. So in May, I think it was May 13th, the models predicted by June 6th, which was just 6 days ago, we would be at 110,000 deaths. So those models were correct. And I know we were saving articles for later at the end of the show, but I don't know if it's the same model, so I want to be accurate there, but one of the models was projecting 200,000 deaths by September of this year.
Yeah. And so what's we'll talk about this later because it's related to where we're going to go with this show, but there's a lot of news just over the last few days about huge spikes in certain states. We'll talk about that. And again, like some of the models have been very accurate. So if that accuracy that you mentioned about June 6th and 110,000 sticks, we could be at 200,000 in September. That's still not a full year of this stuff. That's a half a year, essentially. Well, March to September, third month to the ninth month, roughly 6 months. Yep. So, that is no good. And it actually could be worse than that. So we'll get to all of that as we look forward. But, what we wanted to do is just kind of take a moment to pause. First of all, let's talk about why we've decided to make this the last daily briefing live. The way we've looked at this is, and we have said from the beginning that we wanted this podcast to be a resource for people every day, that as long as you, hospital and health system marketers, were dealing with this crisis, we wanted to be there for you. And we still want to be there for you. But what's changed in our opinion, even given what we just talked about with this hasn't ended, and it certainly hasn't ended, is the feeling that this is a crisis that is changing on a daily basis. If you remember back to March when this really started to explode, and you had like one night the NBA cancels its season. One night the NBA cancels a game and people are like, that was a Wednesday. People are freaked out. Thursday, President Trump speaks. The NBA cancels its season. Tom Hanks announces he has COVID-19. It was a daily holy bleep. And it was brand new for everybody. Yeah. There really was a need to understand because we were all grappling with this, particularly in certain hotspots like New Orleans or New York or New Jersey or Detroit. And so there really was a need for that. And what's great is our audiences stay pretty stable over all of this. So it's not that people aren't consuming the content. We have definitely seen a drop, it's fair to say, in people attending this live from where we were in the beginning. And I think it speaks to this. But also we added the ability to subscribe as a podcast, which for most people is far more convenient to listen to this kind of thing. So people are still listening. But we can all tell that, it's not something where we're pivoting every day, where there's something new every day we're dealing with. And so for us, it felt like look, you know, we could keep doing this. And if we were doing this as long as there's literally a crisis, we could be doing it into next year. But we think what is more called for now is less kind of daily briefing and just kind of grappling with what the heck is in the news and all that, and more in-depth conversation. And so we're switching to a weekly podcast. It will be longer. It'll be very focused on topics. And we're going to talk a little bit later about what that is. But I kind of mentioned it on LinkedIn earlier. Everybody seems to be talking about the idea of a new normal. Like, what are we going to do with the new normal? And when will the new normal hit? And, you know, we've been talking a lot at Revive about, honestly, the new normal is kind of a, I'm just going to say it. I can say this, right? It's like a bullshit concept. Because what do we mean by new normal? And when would new normal come? I mean, we've started kind of, I don't know if derisively or cynically calling it the no normal. And what we mean by that is there's nothing that's going to look like normal for any time soon, right? It, especially as we hear like this is going to continue to the end of the year. We might see a spike. This event that we're going through is the same level as at least the Great Recession of 2008, 2009. But as we've talked about before, this is a Great Depression level event. This is a World War II level event. And the implications coming out of both of those, let alone, you know, we can talk about the Great Recession, took a long time to settle in, and then a long time to understand, and then a long time to make sure we're doing the right thing. So for us to think that there's going to be some new normal in the fall, or that there's going to be a new normal even in the spring, even if there is a new normal, let's say we get a vaccine and everything's great, understanding the long-term impact and changes that this will have on business, on the economy, on consumers, on culture, on how we interact with each other, just popping out of my head, Starbucks announced it was closing, I can't remember the number, 40,000? 400,000, not 400,000, 40,000, 4,000. It was in the thousands and had a four in it. Can you look that up for me and confirm what it is?
That's a big difference.
But they were closing the stores and turning them into drive-thrus. And the story I saw said, look, this is the tip of the iceberg of what's coming in terms of not just COVID, not just during COVID, but long-term changes. So for us to think that we're going to understand what these changes are and be able to move forward with certainty anytime soon, and by that I mean this year or probably even next year, just seems kind of crazy, right? It doesn't mean we're going to be blind. It doesn't mean that we just don't know anything. What it means is we're not going to have those, you know, nooky blanky kind of philosophies and known knowns that have guided us up until this point. We're not going to have the guardrails that tell us what to do. We're going to have to learn as we go. We're going to have to be really agile. We're going to be super smart. We're going to have to really look at data. All of those things are true. And we're going to have to move forward with our branding, with our marketing, all of that. But we're going to have to do it we have to be okay with the level of uncertainty. We have to be okay with the idea of a no normal. So that's where we're going. We'll talk a little bit more about the end, but just for people that, you know, are joining in now and can't stay to the end, wanted to get that out there. Chase, though, let's just go back down the last few months, which seems like a lifetime.
It truly does. Like March, mid-March feels at least a year and a half ago. I mean, at least a year. So, I mean, at the very beginning of the show, we were discussing, what the heck do you call this thing? Is it COVID-19? I mean, we even reported like an AP style book. Is it the coronavirus? Is it the new coronavirus? Like, what? How do you appropriately address it? So, I mean, from then until now, I mean, man, we know so much more than what we did, but there's still so much unknown. I mean, even 3 months, 62 episodes in, there's still a lot of unknown. But as far as a marketing organization and team, there's a lot of lessons that we've learned. And I think that's what today's conversation is about, I know a couple of episodes ago, we did a SWOT analysis of where have we seen the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to marketing teams due to the COVID crisis. And that was an interesting conversation. So,
yeah. And that's the point. Like, it's not that the no normal means we're going to be blind. It just means we can't assume anything. We can't assume all the things that we thought we knew before will still be true. And so we have to be smarter, faster, all those things to make sure during a, I mean, let's be frank, like the industry was in a level of uncertainty before. We were going through deep transformation in the healthcare system, but it was kind of slow. This is just like somebody just poured a gallon of gas on that transformation. And so that first episode, when you're talking about what the heck do we even call it, and is it the coronavirus, is it COVID, it's COVID-19, that was March 18th. That was 1 week after that Utah Jazz game where, I thought I remember who they were playing, the Jazz and the Kings, the Jazz and the, anyway, that game where it was paused. And we had been hearing about the coronavirus up to this point. It wasn't new on March 11th, but people weren't grasping at all. And then you hear like an NBA game canceled. And I'll never forget the announcer who finally, like an hour after the tip off is supposed to start, said, yeah, we're canceling the game. Everybody's safe. Everybody can go home. We are all safe. Like, what the hell is he talking about? What do you mean we're all safe? It really was striking. And then it was the next night. It was the 12th, if I'm remembering this right, where President Trump had a speech where the NBA announced canceling the season, Tom Hanks. What was the market crash in 1929? November 29th? Yeah, I should know this off the top of my head. But that's like that crystallizing moment that then shapes everything that comes. CDC, really slow. We actually had our first survey released the 21st of March. So we went out there right away, we stood up the podcast, we started with research. 65% of the people didn't know how to get tested. This is the number I still think is stunning. 42% of people surveyed had not heard of telehealth. I hadn't heard of it. Forget about using it. We knew that the usage rates were low, but hadn't heard of it. Like half the people hadn't even heard of it. And then Alan Shoebridge, who's been on the show, who's always suggested great topics for us, somebody we've known for a long time, we work with, said, this crisis will also shape our brands in profound ways and potentially for years to come. And 100% true. And that's the part of it that we have to keep that long-term thinking in mind. So March was crazy. March was just a whirlwind of what the heck is happening. And I remember saying when we moved into April, like, good riddance to March. But my feeling about April was it was way darker, because I think it's really started to dawn on us collectively that this is not going away anytime soon. And by it going away, I mean the coronavirus, I mean COVID-19, but it also was where we started to really see the impact this was having on our industry. So right at the beginning in April, we started seeing a couple stories pop up about the financial impact on hospitals. April 2nd, we released kind of our thinking around it. And really this was generated by our CEO, Brandon Edwards, and the idea of rapid recovery that, holy cow, we are in a financial hole that we have never been in. And when we start opening the doors, we had better double down on that effort. That's why we called it rapid recovery, because we're going to really need to right this financial ship. And it was at the same time, April 4th, we released our second findings, our second survey findings, where we started to really come to grips with that idea that one of the challenges to rapid recovery is going to be consumer fears. 40% of consumers saying at the time it would take 3 to 6 months to get back to normal. 30% saying 6 months or longer. We were also hearing, as we heard with the first survey result in March, that consumers desperately wanted to hear from their hospitals. 64% of consumers wanted to hear from their hospital at least once a day. right? That's where we started like joking, Joe Public does care about your hospital. Yeah. Holy cow, yeah. You know, for terrible reasons, but mm-hmm. there's a void here, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting, right? Like the fast adoption of telehealth, because I believe in April 4th also, it jumped up to like 71% of people had heard of telehealth at that point. Just the vast improvement of that and the, I don't know, awareness of it, but also the awareness of the consumer fears of hospitals growing too at that same time of fearing, you know, to receive care. And that was just the beginning of that conversation at that point.
Yeah. Yep. And we, you know, we released another survey report on April 20th, where you saw, you know, that number go up to 77%. 36% of people said they would intentionally delay care. We started doing also at that time market focused versions of the survey, and we also started doing some proprietary research. It was proprietary because it was for on the behalf of some of our clients, so we couldn't share it as publicly. That was focused just on the fears, and those became way more acute for us as we moved through April. And I think it's when we got into May, just to stay on that thread, what we saw was those aren't going away, right? You might expect that as we started reopening, May to me is known as we're reopening. The country's starting to reopen. You know, we've heard Oklahoma and Ohio as examples early on from a hospital standpoint, but also just from a societal standpoint. And you would think that as we're reopening, people might become more comfortable with everything and going back into the hospital. And what we saw was those numbers not really changing dramatically or as dramatically as we want. And in some cases, even poking up a little bit. And I think the conclusion we drew there is, again, in May, even as we reopened, it became more obvious that not only is this a big deal, but it's not going to go away anytime soon. It's not, even if we're reopening in a different way because we're going to be dealing with COVID for quite some time. And so we started having that conversation about the realities of what reopening ever meant as we reopened, which is where I think that those fears remained pretty high. And we also started seeing staggering numbers, right? You would point out those numbers that you highlighted, Chase, for May 6th and May 12th.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers that's the story of May was the loss of revenue from hospitals. I mean, on May 6th, it was $50 billion a month for all of the U.S. and for a hospital system. So, and then on May 12th, not to make it any worse, but it was $60 billion at that point per month. So, which I believe was through the AHA that reported that number.
Yeah, and it was in May when we first also, and we got to credit our colleague Jared this week because we've been talking about this a lot over the last few weeks. But you know, at least in my recollection, he was the first person at our agency to go, "Hey, you guys, like this is really impacting primary care." And if we think about that and apply that same thinking to other up funnel kind of encounters like diagnostics, imaging, urgent care, whatever, that's going to have a huge impact down the road in terms of people receiving, you know, specialty care and surgical care, because what we eventually started calling the missing domino theory, you know, you need to kind of knock over the primary care domino that knocks over the diagnostic imaging domino that knocks over the specialist consult domino that leads to the surgical domino. You take away some of those initial dominoes and the surgical domino never falls. And so we started, you know, Jared kind of postulated that. And then we started hearing from clients like, "Hey, people are coming back into the hospital because they've been put off really serious stuff. 60 to 80% is still what we're hearing. But our pipeline 2 or 3 months down the road, like falls off a cliff." And so we can't, you know, we've started talking about, we can't just worry about trying to help people overcome their fears for the surgical volumes that we desperately need for that rapid recovery. But even the you know, the diagnostic care, the primary care, retail care, all of that. And that's even harder because it's one thing to overcome your fears if you're having stroke or if you've got a terrible knee that you can't go up and down the stairs, you need that surgery. It's another to go, yeah, I'm going to overcome my fears for an annual physical, or for my, as the example I gave, for my, you know, annual skin cancer checkup, right? Like I can put that off, right? Can't I? And those are the things, those are those dominoes. So that's a problem both from a health issue standpoint. We started calling it health issue three, you know, health crisis 3.0. It was COVID. Then it was the lack of care people were getting during COVID that wasn't related to COVID. And then it was this idea that a whole bunch of people are going to be missing out because they didn't get the upfront care they needed. So, and we're still dealing with that today in June.
Yeah. I mean, it's we hosted a different podcast on called Operation Recovery, which is focuses on the health system, finance, and managed care space. And in a fascinating conversation, we had somebody from a Southeastern health system come on, and they reported they had 25 DOAs in April, dead on arrival, and in 2019. And in 2020 for April, they had 50. So they had doubled their DOAs from people not going in to receive care. And that was just another severe sign of that delay of care, or that fear prohibiting people from going in.
Chase, we've got a question that I'm gonna sick you on, and I'll try to kind of close things out here.
Yeah.
Somebody's asked if the market specific studies are available to us. So those are the ones that I mentioned that were proprietary because they were paid for by clients. The reports aren't available, but Chase, if you can find a link to, I know we published something that talks about some of the qualitative work we did related to that. And then also, our colleague Sasha Bogosian was on a few weeks ago to talk to some of that. So we can't publish the reports, but he did a great job of talking to some of that. And so Chase can post in the chat function links to those. So you can go find those resources to kind of hear, I guess is the best way, or read some things that aren't the full reports, but speak to those. And I'm just going to, while he does that, so just watch the chat function for that. I'm going to wrap because we're getting really close to the end here. This is the end of Daily Briefing Live. It's the end of the daily, and it's the end of the briefing, not the end of the live, because we're going to come back in 2 weeks. So the official relaunch, I guess we should say, is going to be June 25th. So every Thursday, is it every Thursday at the same time?
That's the plan.
And that's at noon central. So same time, every Thursday, we'll do a live show. It's going to be longer. We're going to target maybe 45 minutes. We're going to dive deeper into issues because again, if we believe that this is a no normal today and it's going to be a no normal, I mean, think of it, even if things end, it's going to take us time to understand the implications of these changes and then to learn what works and what doesn't based on those implications. You know, so the no normal is going to be with us for a while. We're not going to call the podcast that, or maybe we will. I don't know. Hey, if you've got an idea for the name for this podcast, we're still figuring that out. But the point of it is it's kind of a blank slate. We should think of it as a blank slate as we move forward as hospital and health system communicators and marketers. And we're going to need to really be smart about using data, understanding the consumer, understanding the changes across the industry as we come out of this. That's going to be the focus for the show. Again, it's going to be every week. It's going to be live. You can subscribe to it as a podcast. We'll post a recording, everything we're doing now. But the two key differences are weekly instead of daily and a deeper dive. Though even I think, Chase, we've done some deep dives even in the half hours that we've had. And the thing is, like, again, it's not like we're coming out of this. We were going to share a bunch of news and it's not good news. I mean, you go look at the headlines today, and Harvard doctor, you know, warns this morning, 200,000 deaths by early fall. That's before fall. You hear this talking about, you know, September. Vox has a number of stories, 8 states that experts worry are the new COVID-19 hotspots. Arizona, you know, so for example, headline today, Yahoo, Houston, quote unquote, on the precipice of disaster with virus cases spreading. Vox talking about Arizona with a really worrisome spike in their hospitals, particularly in Phoenix, are filling up. Banner Health going out there talking about how they're putting emergency procedures in order. You've got Oregon that's pausing its reopening plans, just on and on. So we're not done with this thing. And, you know, even though we think the changes that are coming don't necessitate a daily kind of pulse check, they will necessitate continued conversation. And that's what this podcast will do. So we're so thrilled that you have joined us through this journey. We wish there was a better reason that we had to share all this time with you. And like we said at different points, never been involved in a podcast where I was hopeful and praying that it would end soon. And, you know, we're not done with this, but hopefully everybody stays safe. Hopefully you will join us again starting in 2 weeks because there's a lot more to talk about. So if you've got a name idea, put it in the chat. Email me at cab@thinkrevivehealth.com. I'm on LinkedIn. You can suggest something there. If we pick your name, we'll give you credit for it. No licensing, no royalties, none of that. So if you suggest it, you're giving away all trademark rights in doing so. But really appreciate you being with us. And we will be back. Chase, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
And we look forward to reconnecting with all of you, having great guests, and picking up this conversation again in 2 weeks. Stay safe, everybody.